We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
So the way it goes with weddings is it, like your friends who marry, they're like college sweethearts. That's like your mid to late 20s for weddings. And then all your other boys, it's like your early to mid 30s. So, you know, obviously I'm on the back end of the second one, but that's just kind of how it goes. You know, like you're probably going to weddings of people who've been dating someone since they were in college, right?
Yeah, that's the couple weddings I've gone to this year. That's exactly what has happened.
But like in 5 to 8 years, it'll be like your friends who are probably single now, but meet the person who they want to marry, you know, now or in a year or something like that.
I guess that'd be cool to go to. I guess the weddings you don't want to go to are like people that you didn't really know. Like what if your like girlfriend had like, you know, if you have to go to a wedding that it's your girlfriend's friend and you're just there, and God, that would be how fun could that be? You know, especially if you've been to like 30 already. Like how many have you been?
I don't know. I kind of want to just cry about the A's right now, but no, I disagree with you. Actually, I think it's fun to, well, it depends. It can be fun to go a wedding where you really only know people through like a secondary context. Or it can be awful. It can go one of two ways, but like in general, you're going to a party that's really nice that everything's paid for. How bad can it be, right?
That is true. I guess I like it more if it's somebody I know. It means more.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. It goes both ways on that, but you can enjoy yourself at both. So I don't know. Worst wedding story I ever have. I guess we'll start with this. A college friend of mine married a girl who I wasn't necessarily a fan of at the time. And like, it was just a shit show. And like, like her bridesmaid speech was her talking about like all the dudes she used to hook up with before him.
Oh my God.
And we're just sitting there like, what? Did we hear, understand that right? Like,
oh my God.
And then the dad goes up and basically implies like the only reason they got married is because he got her pregnant. And he like, he's like, I'm just so proud of him for, you know, stepping up to the plate after he did that. And I'm like, where am I?
So how fucked up was she? I assume she was kind of drunk.
I mean, they didn't do the wedding till after she gave birth to the child. So, like, objectively, yeah, like, they got married.
Oh, my goodness.
She was pregnant,
but
everyone around it implied it was, like, it wasn't like they were in love and then they got pregnant and then they got married. It was, you know, They were not in the greatest place, but then, you know, he you know, didn't put his condom on correctly or something. So.
Woo! And with that, Warriors training camp.
Welcome to White Years.
I think both of us are feeling like shit right now, so this is going to be a tough episode.
You're feeling that way because you got sick from like a coworker. I'm feeling that way because the A's did the same shit they always do to me.
I just saw a stat 0-9 in what is it called, elimination games. The A's are their last 9 games. They've lost all of them.
You know what it really comes down to with the A's? Because, like, you saw Lizardo pitch, and you saw he was, like, their best pitcher in the game. And you could take, like, the optimistic angle and be like, this guy's 21. The only reason he wasn't starting was because he had all those injuries. And, you know, they just wanted him to work out of the bullpen so he didn't have to go, like, 6-7 innings. And they're so young, and everything looks good. But that's every A's year for about 15 to 20 years now. And to me, it really comes down to it's ownership, man. It's just tiresome. It's like, it makes me appreciate Joe Lacob. It makes me appreciate the Joe Lacob who's like constantly like wanting to get better, because the A's are legitimately, they might have the best GM in all of sports. If nothing else, like the most influential, like Billy Bean changed the way everyone looks at sports. And it's weird that he works for a bad team, but like end of the day, if you're not getting, like, we want to win a championship mentality from the top, nothing else is going to matter. Like, who's the guy who's saying, let's spend more to put a winner? Who's the guy who's saying, this isn't good enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, it always starts at the top. Like, I don't particularly think the Giants are well-run, but, like, the one thing I would have said about them is, like, their ownership is highly motivated, and that gets you a lot farther than a lot of other things.
Well, the Giants are about to be well run because they have Farhan now. So they hit a home run with that. So good for them. But wait, so I get the ownership part, but they also won 100 games with pretty much like guys that
on rookie
Billy
deals.
Bean,
more or less, yeah.
So what are they supposed to do? Like, what do you think they're supposed to do? Like, they still won 100 games in the AL. The AL, which is a better conference, or a better, is it conference in baseball? A league.
Yeah.
A better league than the NL. I mean, like, what are they supposed to do? Spend something?
You could be right. Like, you could say, like, I just need to trust that they're going to keep it together and grow it. But, like, why should I trust that, right? Mm. They haven't, like, shown me they're going to do that in 20 years. And the secondary argument would be Matt Chapman makes $500K. Matt Olson makes $500K. Lizardo makes, like, $100K. Like, I can go down the line. They could have just put money into their weaknesses, you know, such as starting pitching. Like, I love Manaea. I think he's better than what he showed today. But end of the day, the guy pitched 5 starts before he started the wild card game. Like, they could have, you know, could you imagine if the Giants had 6 all-star caliber starters who are all making under $1 million? Like, do you think they wouldn't spend money on other positions? No, they'd use that as a competitive advantage. Let's get to a better point. The Warriors, when Steph signed a cheap deal, they used that to sign Iguodala and then sign Kevin Durant. They didn't use that to just be like, look how good we can be as a 6th seed, but like have the 20th payroll, you know?
Right,
that's
and
really
not
what
be
it
the
comes
Thunder.
Down to, yeah.
Yeah, if the Warriors could, they would have paid like $500 million luxury taxes if KD wanted to re-sign. But I mean, yeah, I guess the A's best case scenario would be like the Dodgers. Like, they would be like the best team in baseball in the regular season because they have guys that want to spend money and the right GM and scouting department. But I mean, I'm just watching it, man, and I've watched the last couple of times the A's have been in the playoffs. And I'm just like, listen, I'm on Twitter and it's fun to make fun of them, but I feel bad. Because when the Giants were in the wild card game, the couple times that they've been in, they won like 88 games. The A's are, they've won 90 to 100 games, right? The Giants squeaked into the wild card. The A's are probably hosting ALDS. So it's almost like, damn, you kind of feel bad because shouldn't he be playing at least a best out of five and just not nine innings? Especially if you don't have one guy you can trust.
I made this joke, but, you know, them in Houston, it's like the reverse Rockets and Warriors because, like, the Astros might have the best team in baseball for the last, like, 25 years. Like, I will be surprised if they don't win the World Series this year. If they don't end up
they're the overwhelming favorites this year, right?
All I'm saying is, like, I'll be surprised if they don't win, like, 3 in 5 years or something. Like, they've won one. Last year they got to the ALCS. They'll probably win it this year. They'll probably have a chance to win it next. Like, they have a chance to be one of those teams that wins, like, 3 and 4 or something. You know, like the Warriors did or something like that, right? And they're kind of, you know, they use stats. They're very analytically sound, but they also spend and they do a lot of other stuff. Meanwhile, the A's are kind of, well, this is where the analogy doesn't work. The Rockets spend money. They're just dumb. But, like, I mean, it's the same kind of thing where it's like, the A's are really good. They just happen to play in a division with a team who's objectively better than them.
Right. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
None of that excuses this Tampa game.
By the way, the Tampa Bay Rays, who are essentially are they not just another version of the A's where they don't have fans, they don't have a payroll, they have one of the smartest front offices. Yeah, they're just a
moneyball team, and it's like, yeah. it almost hurts. I can't decide if I prefer losing to that because at least it justifies the process, or it upsets me more because it's like, I don't know. It's a hard call which is worse, but whatever. They're good. And shout out for the immigrant dad quote of the week, which is going to be a new podcast segment for Yandy Diaz, who is dominant tonight. Was that 2 home runs? They're like, you know, there's going to be 55,000 people cheering against you. He's like, in Cuba, I played in stadiums with guys pointing guns at me. And I talked with you about this, but this just reminds me of some peak, like, dad from third world authoritarian, like, because we both have those kind of fathers, where you're just kind of like, you know, you are right. I have a spoiled life relative to how you had it.
Well, it is. You don't think about that when you're a kid, or even when I was in, like, high school, I would tell my dad these things. Like, I'm, like, learning about how America is, right? And I would be telling him all this shit. Like, man, it fucking sucks. He'll be like, son, in Chinese, obviously, he'll go on this thing about where he grew up and what happened then. And I'll sit there, and my dad talks a lot, so he'll just keep talking. And then after
it's always a long-winded story. It's never like a quick one-liner. It's like, let me tell you the history of it.
Yeah, he just goes on for like an hour. I'm just sitting there like, Dad, look, man, I got to take a piss. Like, what? And then, like, by the end of the story, I'm like, you know what? You may have a point. I might have dozed off midway through the story, but you may have a point. So it's always interesting when you go back on Twitter and you see everybody always whining about something. It's always very interesting. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're whining about Willie Cauley-Stein's sprained foot being oppressive. And you're like, you know, I'll show you real oppression. And on that note, we'll pivot. So, I think before the camp started, we're both like, you know, I think the Warriors could be sneaky good, but they're not deep. So seeing like Cauley-Stein show up in a boot, not a good sign.
Yeah, can you believe that? By the way, can you hear the sirens going on in the background? I don't know what is going on. You can?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
The second part is today, like, Looney and Smilicic got hurt, and neither are serious, but I'm like, oh, God, Draymond's going to have to play 35 minutes a game at center in the preseason just because they have no one else. It's like, uh-oh, that's not a good sign for the season.
Can you believe that Willie Cauley-Stein going out for a month and he's probably not going to play, like, he's probably not going to play the first couple weeks of the regular season? Can you believe that's, like, actually a huge deal? Because it looks like it is going to be a huge deal. I mean, I think you're higher on the Warriors than me, man. Like, I don't, like, the fact that they're without Willie Cauley-Stein for a couple weeks up to a month of the regular season, that may actually impact this team in a bad way.
I think you and I are looking at it from two different perspectives. You're looking at it from 2017, and I'm looking at it from, like, Portland, Utah, The New Jersey Nets. Sorry, Brooklyn. The Wizards. Like, so many teams with, like, two good players and a bunch of mediocrity make the playoffs in this league. And end of the day, I have a hard time seeing Steph and Draymond missing the playoffs if they're healthy. Like, the one thing you and I, and actually we talked about with Ethan on his pod, if they're healthy, they'll make the playoffs. It's just a question of how much people, how many games people believe Steph and Draymond can play.
I just think the rosters can, I don't blame anyone. I just think the roster is constructed in a way, it's bad. Like, after D'Lo, after Steph, after Draymond, after Looney, it's bad. There's literally nobody.
Are you upset that there's no Mo Harkless?
I would gladly take Mo Harkless on the team right now. I would gladly take
I'm a big Al-Farouq Aminu guy.
Give me Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't know why I just threw that out there, but
he's solid too. But I'm just saying, like, those are all. It seems to me the Warriors' perspective is a lot of those guys can be manufactured, and they don't necessarily buy the advanced stats crowd, or they don't buy people who see, like, oh, they have like a plus 1.5 RPM. They're really good. They believe that's more contextual to the team, and they can create that with good coaching around Steph and Draymond. And I tend to agree with them. That said, I don't know that the guys they have are capable of being those guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But I do believe people kind of, like, we've talked about Covington the last couple weeks. The quintessential example of a guy who, like, we all agree is, like, a useful role player, but, like, maybe advanced stats overrate how good he is because, like, his impact is only truly realized in this context next to a couple stars. And end of the day, those stars are the ones who matter.
Yeah, you make a great point, though. I think the Warriors coaching staff, they love, you know how they love the Spurs so much? You know how Steve Kerr loves Popovich? I think they do want to emulate that, where it's like, hey, we can, like, create players. Like, we can have a system that creates guys that are, like, this good. Because, who am I thinking of? Like, Derek White probably wouldn't be Derek White, who's, you know, pretty good, like, a pretty solid
two-way
player.
Everyone would take him in their rotation.
Yeah, like, I don't think he'd be Derek White without being on the Spurs, right? Without being going through that system. So I think that's what the Warriors want to do. Maybe, like, they want people to feel that way about Jacob Evans, which, you know, I think is
there,
not going to be a good
player.
But
there's a little hype in the first few days of media that he looks like a more confident player. But, you know, we also heard from Laker camp that Alex Caruso is standing out. So you can never take it too seriously. I don't know.
Like, we'll find out
one or the other. So everyone's got, like, two players who are standing out in camp, and inevitably at least a couple of them across the league will stand out.
I will say this, though. This is way more when I say, like, the Warriors are, I don't think that they're going to be good, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be exciting. This makes podcasting way more fun the rest of the year for us, because last season, do we even talk about training camp? Like, what do we talk about during training camp? Do we talk about, like, KD on Twitter? I think that's literally what we talked about for 12 straight months.
So that's kind of the big theme I'm getting from training camp. Last year, everything was about free agency, and it was a drag. You know, we couldn't talk about basketball, couldn't pull out the whiteboards and just, like, drop plays and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was all about, like, is KD happy? Is Clay happy? Is Draymond happy? You know, it's, like, all free agency stuff, right? This year, there seems to be a tone of, like, Steph and Draymond seem like they're having fun. Not firing any shots, but but, like, there seems to be, like, they're aware. I don't want to say they think they won't win the title this year, but they know it's, like, they kind of maximize what they had with that previous core, and it's, like, a new challenge.
Yeah, it's a new challenge. And did you see Steph pretty much – somebody tweeted Steph's reaction to Andre Iguodala, or his text to Andre Iguodala, and what he was saying. And he was like, he texted him, like, hey, I miss you. I was like, dude, it looked like he was crying. And then somebody tweeted Steph's reaction to KD leaving, deuces. And then Steph's reaction to Andre Iguodala leaving with him crying. Thought that was pretty funny. Whatever that means.
I think you and I both believe Andre will be back before he retires. I don't think he's come back this year. I just don't see a way. Like, the only way that he'll be eligible to come to the Warriors is someone trades for him and then they cut him. And, like, it's just, I don't know who the team is who's going to trade for him and then decide to cut him after 20 games, you know?
What do you think it would be? It'd have to be like a, maybe like a playoff team, like, and then start terribly or something like that, you know?
The only, like, Dallas, let's say Dallas trades for him today. Uh-huh. With delusions of going to the playoffs, and then come February they're 20-40.
Yeah, and then
they decide to cut him just to do him a favor. That's like the Pacers. That's like the only. But the Pacers only do that because those teams will be in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They're too good.
Well, they're not even that good. It's just they're in the East.
It's just in the East. Yeah.
Yeah, like no, I think Dallas would be like a 6 seed in the East, honestly. So
maybe the Kings. Maybe your Kings. Anyway, do we have an? Actually, you know what? Before we get into another topic, let's get some ad reads done, huh? So we're talking about wedding season. One of my buddies was in a wedding and he was trying to figure out like what kind of suit to get. You know, what you can use is Indochino. So Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. Everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. The best part is they are affordable. Almost all of their custom clothing is under $400. The process is simple. Choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom or do it all yourself at Indochino.com. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made to measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. That's Indochino. All right, one more. ShipStation, one of my favorites. So when you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. Time-consuming, expensive, so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, Lightyear's podcast listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without ever entering your credit card info. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, offer code BLUE. ShipStation, make ship happen.
Whew. Indochino is legit. I actually have a couple Indochino suits. As a stylish man like you would appreciate it, because you like to have the variety, but it's expensive to have variety, right?
That is true. I do like the problem is like I went to Vietnam and that's where I get my suit. That's where I got all my suits. Custom fit for $70. I got a black one, a blue one, and I got a purple one. And I instantly regretted that I didn't get like another real color. It's like, dude, when am I going to wear a purple suit? But at the same time, I'm like, I kind of want a pink suit now. You know, I kind of want an orange suit.
You're so Asian.
I don't think you're not a fan.
But I do have I've got a couple like different shades of blue and gray, some lighter ones.
So you're classy, unlike me.
I just don't know what I'd wear a purple or pink suit to. Like legitimately, it wouldn't be in my rotation. But they're really affordable, and it's a good look, honestly. Like the custom thing, once you get a custom suit, it's really hard to go off the rack, is what I realized, because it just fits better. And then like anytime you put like a rack suit on, you're like, this is boxy, it doesn't fit right. I don't know.
Listen, man, once you have a job, you're immediately, you can't do off the rack anymore. Listen, if you're like 20, 21 and you're like wearing up, I get it, right? You can only afford like something that's like $100. But if you're making money, you have a real job and you're like 25 and up, it's like, come on now. We got to do better.
This turned into a very FOB podcast.
We got to do better. Come on. Find something that fits, man. Come on.
Pivoting. speaking of bromances, little budding bromance between Steph and D'Lo.
Yeah.
You picking up on that?
More than I thought.
D'Lo seems very... I don't know. It's basically everything we've said with regards to young players and Steph. Like there's an admiration, there's a level of respect, and Steph's kind of returning it because, you know, he just likes to play with guys who want to play the same way he does.
Yeah. I will say this. I was really sick and I'm still recovering, but I was really, when it was media day Monday, I was really sick and I was just like in bed dying, but I turned on the Warriors, media day, and I was listening to D'Angelo Russell talk, and I was like, and I like fell asleep, one, because I had just taken a bunch of meds, but two, because he's literally just as boring as Steph when he talks to media, and I'm like, man, this guy says nothing to
yeah,
the
it's
media.
Kind of like the nice
it's very
guy
similar.
It's the
yeah.
nice guy thing. You're like, oh, he seems like a nice guy, and then you're like, hey, he didn't say anything of value there. He just like told us he'd work hard. Like, great.
Like, yeah, what? But no, you make a point, because I didn't really see that coming. I don't really know who D'Angelo Russell is. I don't know if you do. I mean, we know about the Snapchat stuff, but that has nothing really to do with who D'Lo has become.
So per my sources, my source game is up with Woj.
I mean, it is true.
People have told me he's and Warrior people have said the same thing, where it's like the big thing you hear about him is like he's a really nice kid, hard worker who's coachable. Coachable is like the word that got said to me like 8 different times. And I didn't really think about it. Then I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, he's, you know, whether he's good at it or not, we'll see. But he's definitely someone who's not going to like deviate from trying to do the system and fit in with Steph and Draymond. Because like, you know, he's got that ego where I need the ball in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, and I'm intrigued now whether, because here's the thing, his only success has been with the ball in his hands in Brooklyn, so you know you could want to play a different way, but like you might not be as good at it, and I don't know, we'll see. But he seems to have the right characteristics to kind of fit into a kind of a more team oriented system.
Well, he's saying all the right things, right? And if what you're saying is true, then I think it bodes well for the Warriors. Because I think D'Lo also isn't someone that – and Durant was this way because, I mean, he was probably right. Like, he doesn't feel like he's better than Steph, right? I think KD felt that way, so he felt like, you know, he was taking too much of a step back, whatever it is, right? I don't think D'Lo is going to feel that way. So part of that's exciting. Part of that's like – And Steph on the other side is not ever going to be like, oh, I'm better than you, you got to do what I say. Like, Steph is never going to be like that, right? So it is exciting to see, like, oh, how are they going to partner up? Like, what does that unlock for D'Angelo Russell? Does that mean he's going to be like, I've never seen him play off the ball. I didn't watch many Brooklyn games, but he was definitely not an off-the-ball player, right? And then what does that mean for the Warriors offense? Like, are they really going to run more pick and roll? And what is that? Because D'Angelo Russell is really good at creating and passing, so – like, that's going to be really fun to watch. It just sucks. Hurts my heart that Clay's not going to play maybe all year. But that is exciting because this offense could be top, or it should be top 10, right? Like, it should be. It's just that the defense is going to be, like, 25 or something.
Yeah, I really don't think the defense will be as bad as you think. I don't think they'll be good. But you can literally rank around 20th in the NBA by just trying. There's like, I don't think you give enough credence to the volume of teams who are completely clueless. Like Phoenix. You think they're going to buy into whatever the coach is selling? Memphis has like four players who are 18 starting. Obviously, we haven't even gotten into like the Knicks,
the Hawks, the
Hornets. Yeah, the Hawks, stuff like that. Like it's going to take time for. So you could, just by being motivated defensively, you can
like a Spurs level defense. You think they can generate like a Spurs
or Portland?
Level.
Portland ranked like 12th last year. And I have no I have no understanding how they did that.
Well, Terry Stotts is a good coach, is a good regular season coach to be. He's really good, especially on offense. I didn't know they were 12th on defense too, so that's a great point.
I'll pull up the exact number, but it was somewhere around there. But to your larger point, on D'Lo and Steph, I think it can work because they need multiple creators, and like as much as we want the ball in Steph's hands. Steph's best when he floats. So, I mean,
and it's a long season, right? Like, if Steph's going to have the ball in his hands all year, that also means he's getting hit a lot more. He's going to the rim more, or he's getting fouled more, right? That also means
well,
he's
and you're
risk
just
to
wasting
injury.
The best softball player in the NBA. Like the beauty of Steph is he's almost exactly as good on and off ball, and I don't know who else you can say that about. Honestly, like Klay's great off ball, but he's not as great on ball. Anyone who like KD, if he was motivated, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Like, KD would probably be better if he would actually do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot of guys who are that good on and off ball.
D Wade in his prime would have been nice. You remember D Wade off ball in his prime? He was a monster on those Heat teams. Oh man, that was something to watch. It's the first regular season. The first preseason game is this Saturday against the Lakers, correct?
That is correct.
Ooh. So we're doing a
Caruso apparently showing out.
The Lakers. I just don't get it. I don't get how they're going to be a finals team, but we got all season to talk about it. But
you know how they can be a finals team? Midseason trades.
Yeah.
Because, like, end of the day, you have LeBron and AD. Like, I do not like their roster at all. But they're, like, a couple pivots away from being contender with that.
They flip everything for Beal somehow and then pick up Andre Iguodala.
Not even that, yeah. You got Danny – all of a, if you have Danny Green and Iguodala, all of a sudden if you got Iguodala, Danny Green, LeBron, Anthony Davis, you just need a guy, the fifth guy to, like, not be Dwight Howard.
Yeah, just throw good. Quinn Cook out there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have Danny Green and Iguodala to guard Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and then you have LeBron and AD, yeah, that's a finals team. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Like they're close, but like until that happens, we'll make fun of them. So, but like, yeah, I'm looking at them and I'm like Rondo, Caruso, KCP, I don't know, whatever. Clutch crony that they were had to sign that they're pretending is good as a tax.
Clutch crony is a new one. That's great. I am very excited to see. There's not much time because training camp just started. There's not much time until the regular season starts. So I don't know how much of this Steve Kerr can install. Very excited to see what type of defense they're going to play. Obviously, they've said all about we're not going to switch. And it's not like they're going to unveil some brand new defense you've never seen before, right? It's probably going to be some standard defense. But I'm curious, what are they going to do?
I think they're going to play a shell defense. I think they're going to do the thing where it's going to be a lot of kind of a more conservative version of like the Tibbs defense, where you just kind of drop and try to fight through the screen, and it's a lot of just trying to deny penetration. And live with the shooting. That's just my guess. I don't think they have the. Well, okay, it's not that I don't think. I know they don't have the. They don't have the individual defenders to switch and like put guys on islands. Like I think this is one thing people did not understand about how good Steph was defensively the last few years. It's like they played a system that was just kind of like they're very okay with leaving him on an island. And they were very okay with leaving anyone on an island. But when you leave someone on an island, they're going to get exposed time to time. it kind of creates a it's pretty cocky to play that kind of defense is all I'm saying.
That's true. I think you're right. That's kind of what I was thinking. It's very conservative, and it also kind of
It's the type of defense that can get you probably through a regular season, but like in a playoff matchup where teams can kind of hunt your guys, not so good.
Yeah, that's the that's where in the postseason where you hope Klay Thompson is back. But I think you said something interesting to me yesterday where you were talking about we're looking too far. Nah, that's all right, whatever. But you were talking about the Warriors' ability and flexibility next year, and what they could do, because they have a trade exception that they got for the Andre Iguodala move that they can't use at all because of the hard cap this year.
Yeah, they can't use till July. But Slater wrote on it, but you and I have talked about it before that. It's not really a secret. They're hard capped. Getting D'Lo hard capped them because it was a sign and trade when you're over the cap. And so that's what lost them Iguodala. But next summer they're not hard capped, so they have this trade exception. So that's $17 million in players they could theoretically bring in. They got to find a taker. But like, for example, here's an easy one: Memphis, Kyle Anderson. Probably don't want him. Makes like $7-8 million a year. They'll probably just take him for an exception, right?
I like Slo-Mo.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
do like him.
I do too. You totally cool with him being like one of your wings off the bench, right?
Yeah, I would love. Yes.
So those are the type of players I'm talking about, or like a Plumlee, where you're like,
Never mind.
Yeah, maybe you don't want a Plumlee, but like that's what I'm talking about. Like you can probably get a couple rotation pieces with that trade exception. You might be able to get even more if you throw in picks. And that's what the Warriors can do. The second thing is like they can open up to other trades. Who knows? Maybe Jordan Poole plays well. Maybe he's attractive to another team to get you, something else you want, right? Or maybe he plays well and you're like, okay, now he's a year better and he can contribute.
Yeah,
they just have way more options. Like this year is about getting to the playoffs, seeing what you can do, but seeing what options you have.
Yeah, because like, I think the future.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, because the D'Lo thing could go either way. I kind of like his fit with the team offensively, but I'm skeptical on the defense. But you know, we'll see.
Strauss had a post on The Athletic saying that he now believes that the team really actually believes D'Angelo Russell is a foundational piece for the Warriors. Which, come on, can't be serious. No way.
I buy it. I don't think they traded for him to flip him, but I don't think they won't flip him. I think it's one of those.
They traded for him because he was the only thing they could have gotten for Kevin Durant, and so they had to take him.
That's possible too. It's not like they. It's not like they could have like, okay, we can't get him. Let's pivot to Devin Booker or something.
Yeah,
like
I was just exactly what I was gonna say. Holy shit! Yeah, we had the same player in mind. I was like. Although, would you rather have Devin Booker or D'Angelo Russell?
It's tough. Booker's been better. I think he's a little more talented. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Booker's better too. Yeah, but anyway,
I don't know. That's a tough one.
That's the thing about that's the fascinating part about these next couple of years, because it's not like the window is closed for a title. It's just how the Warriors can. Manage it. The last couple of years, the window's open and they managed it perfectly. So now it's like, hey, win the titles. And they got three of them. So now the next 5 years, which, you know, presumably after 5 years, it's pretty much going to be done for this team, right? That's a full decade. I don't see them having a chance to win unless they bring on, you know, younger superstars. But for the next 5 years, they have a chance
to win a couple. Yeah. With Steph and with Klay and with Draymond. They got like a 4 to 5 year window max.
I would say 4 to 5 years. And really anything goes. Like anything is possible. If they trade D'Angelo Russell for, you know, like Robert Covington and 3 first-round picks, like, okay, what happens then? Or if they don't trade D'Lo and they get Andre back and then like they get rotation pieces and run that back, what happens then? Or maybe they sign, you know, Giannis 2 years from now, what happens then? Right? Like I think all this type of stuff is so fascinating, but I guess this is like the 1 year, like they call it a transition year, which you hate to hear it if you're Joe Lacob. We're talking about owners at the beginning of the pod, as the team that's moving into Chase Center, but this is kind of how you have to look at it. Willie Cauley-Stein being out a month is tough. That's what it is now for the 2019 Warriors.
Yeah, it's a rough one. all right, let's move this forward here. So what do we got? Clay's out till the All-Star break at minimum. I don't think that's new. And I don't know that it means anything because they can always update that timeline to make it earlier or later. So there's not really much to say there, right?
Nope. Although I was kind of hoping there'd be a chance he'd come back sooner, but not that smart.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Oh yeah. A small forward position. Kerr was talking that he doesn't know what he's going to do there, but he's not going to go by committee like a center spot because it's too important. And he kind of mentioned McKinney, Burks, Glenn Robinson, and Jacob Evans. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Like, I kind of think McKinney's got the edge on everyone there. And I know you're not a big McKinney guy, but I think he's better than you give me credit for.
Better than his other guys.
I don't know. Alec Burks is pretty good. Alec Burks can be pretty good. Alec Burks has had the most success out of all of them.
Well, I guess Alec Burks would be like your quintessential bench player, right? Because he's like one-track mind. You know, he's in there to score.
No, and he's perfect for 15 to 20 minutes. Like, you put him in there, let him get some buckets.
Yep.
Hopefully change the momentum of a game, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And so you put him in with D'Lo and you know, Willie Cauley-Stein and hope they can run enough pick and rolls and stuff to manufacture some offense. Again, don't know where the defense comes from, but you kind of hope that's what happens. Yeah, I mean, Alphonso McKinney is probably the guy that's going to start, although people, like, they keep mentioning that he doesn't have a guaranteed contract, but it's like, well, he is the best option. I mean, I may not be a fan of McKinney, but I wasn't a fan when he couldn't guard James Harden. Nobody can guard James Harden except for, like...
Yeah, we're both unhappy Iguodala. With him when he was asked to guard Harden and Kawhi.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm
not as worried about him against TJ Warren and, you know, Harry B.
Random Harry B slander. Although I bet you McKinney would probably guard Harry B pretty well. I'm not really worried about that matchup. Yeah, I mean, McKinney would be a solid guy. I mean, he shot the three. He's pretty shaky from three. I mean, he's either super hot or super
cold. That's a big thing. If he can just be a consistent, he shot 35.5% from three last year. If he can get me to 38, because it's not like he's taking contested shots. Not like he's Klay Thompson coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
Down, right?
That's true.
It's all corner. It's all corner threes. It's all catch and shoots out of the corner. If you can give me like 38% on those, I'm cool, you know? Because he'll rebound. You know he'll like play high energy.
Yeah.
And give me like 25 minutes a game where you hit a couple of those threes and you crash glass. You're providing value. It's like you want more, but like at least he's not negative.
You know, and part of this is kind of understated with the I don't want to say Draymond is a supporting player, but on offense he is. Same goes with McKinney and maybe some of these other guys, is that it's hard to play on offense with Steph and KD and Clay, just because if you miss, you kind of like, damn, dude, like, why are you even shooting the ball? Like, I've played on teams where, like, I'm the worst offensive player on the floor, and if I shoot the ball, I'm like, damn, what am I doing? Right? Because it's like these other guys should be shooting instead of me. And so every time
you
miss,
that's
an
underrated
feel like
thing.
Shit.
Like, you can say
– it's tough.
You can be like, dude, what does it matter if I shoot it four times when we have 100 possessions? But, like, you're not the one having to deal with those stares from your teammates who are like, no, just pass me the fucking ball because you suck.
Yeah.
It's miserable. it messes with your head.
I mean, Draymond didn't shoot, right? So that's even, like, not even McKinney, right? But, like, Draymond didn't shoot. And, like, I don't think KD and Steph really got pissed or anything like that, but it was just, like, I mean, you know where the ball should be going. And it's like, there's something to be said for, hey, if McKinney knows that he can shoot, you know, 5-6 threes a game or like 5-10 shots a game, not really have it come back to him. Same with Draymond. Kind of what happened in 15-16, right? Where they just get in better rhythm and they're just better shooters and players that way. I think Mike D'Antoni is really good at kind of instilling that. I don't think Steve Kerr is, So I think Mike D'Antoni is really good at just like making random players really confident and like good at just scoring the basketball, just shooting. Mike D'Antoni has, who was that wing player that they got that was on the Warriors that was like,
Daniel House.
He like was a good shooter. Yes, that's who it was. I mean, he wasn't a playoff player, right? But like in the regular season, like he was playing, like he was good. And that's someone that I wish like the Warriors could kind of develop and pick up and instill some confidence, because the Warriors couldn't do that. And that's probably because the Warriors were too good. They had too many good players. But I mean, now's the time, right? Now's the time for Steve Kerr to make his money. Daniel House. I like how you knew that right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there's someone who knows marginal, slightly above average role players, it's me. All right. Let's get out of here. Actually, before we get out of here, some news. You and I will be on pregame on 95.7 on Saturday.
Saturday, 3 to 5.
And we'll probably be doing this more weekends coming up. Despite the state trying to kill freelancers, you know, we'll be doing some weekend shows, and it's gonna be pretty cool.
Wow, just more content for the people. All right, man. Good stuff.
And then we got to throw in the other thing. We're gonna be, you know, we got some Light Years T-shirts coming up.
Ooh, that's right.
And then we also got some bonus content coming up. We're gonna tease it now, but you know, when the season starts, you can get some live Sam and Andy reactions.
So much good content. Wow, we should probably put this in the description too. So we're going to do shirts as well as bonus content come the season. All right, I'm juiced. We're ready.
Later, all right, brother.